an exemplary godly life as a tool for influencing your peers for Jesus. Amen. Let me take that again. The topic I'll be talking about now is exemplary godly life as what? As a tool for influencing your peers for Jesus. Hallelujah. I believe these are not strange words. So God is also going to give us more light into them. And we'll make progress. Hallelujah. So God is bringing to your attention and to my attention this evening that first of all, what? An exemplary godly life is what? Is what? A tool. Hallelujah. An exemplary godly life is what? A tool. What is a tool? A tool is a weapon. This is a tool. A Bible is a tool for writing. So now, an exemplary godly life is a tool. It can help us achieve something. Hallelujah. And what is it going to help us to achieve? It's going to be, it's a tool for what? Influencing our peers for who? For Jesus. Hallelujah. Don't you need to influence people for Jesus? Yes. That's the summary of the call of every human being. Especially as a result of the fall. Our lives is supposed to reflect men back to Jesus. Back to the Lord. Because by virtue of the fall, every man lost his place. And so everything we do in time is meant to project men back to that place where man fell off in Eden. Hallelujah. So your schooling, your making money, your buying cars, your building houses, your fight that does not culminate in influencing men for Jesus is what? Is a waste. How shall we call it? What? Banza. It's banza. Anything that does not have an implication in turning men back to their Creator. And how do men turn back to their Creator? It is through Jesus. It is what? A waste. So, an exemplary godly life as a tool for influencing your peers. That's another word we should take note of. Your peers. Who are your peers? Who are your peers? Your peers are what? Another word is what? Your colleagues. Also, another word is your friends. People that you interact with. As a student, your classmates, your age mates, they are what? Your peers, your neighbors around. When you want to preach the gospel, sometimes we think that it's only the evangelists that should preach the gospel. Rehan Bumke, Billy Graham, or when we go an open air crusade, that's on one level. But how about our peers? Hallelujah. How about your seatmate in school? How about the people you interact with day by day in your workplace as a worker? The next people doing business beside you. The people in your, in your work specification. You are a mechanic, you are a computer engineer. You are not the only computer engineer in the world. There are other people in that same field. Thank God we are in a technological age. You have so many WhatsApp platforms that signifies many other things. So these are your peers. These are your associates. And they have to be influenced for Jesus. Hallelujah. In fact, that's one very potent way to bring men to the Lord. By using your circle to draw men to the Lord. Hallelujah. You may not be able to organize a crusade, but you meet an average of maybe 200 people in a week as a student. You have a class of 1,000 students. You are already meeting people that can be influenced for God. So now, while I talk about this, God drew my attention to the life of a man. It's a man we have seen in Scripture. My prayer is that someday, by the grace of God, we'll meet these men. And we will see physically, I'm talking of when we leave the world now, how from generation to generation we read about them and their influence in time. And I'm also praying that if Christ tarry, someday people will look at your life and they will draw inspiration from them. Say, how? There was a guy that lived at such a long time. He lived his life in such a way that was an example. Hallelujah. So we look at the life of Daniel. Can we say Daniel? Yeah, Daniel was such an exemplary godly life. Daniel was such an example. There are so many of them in Scripture. But let's go, just let's narrow down on Daniel. We'll look at a few things and then we will pray. Amen. I try try to pray a lot more because, okay, let's see Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. Daniel is a wonderful story. We can go from chapter to chapter, but we have little time. But so we just keep very important points and read. Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. Let's read Daniel 1, verse 8. If you are there, say amen. Okay. Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. The Bible says, but Daniel proposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with what? The portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested a prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Hallelujah. So Daniel was in a strange land, like you know, he was in Babylon, he had gone on exile, and then he was not the only person on exile. Daniel did something that distinguished him, and that was why the Bible captured his story. The Bible said Daniel did what? He proposed in his heart. Hallelujah. Daniel made a resolution. Daniel made up his mind. While I thought about the whole topic and all of that, I began to pray and ask God, if we have 50%, 50 is even much, maybe 35 or 40% of people who identify themselves as Christians becoming an exemplary godly life, I think the world we live will become a better place for everyone, not just for Christians. Hallelujah. If we have a better percentage of people who identify themselves, they say they are Christians, tomorrow is short, we'll go to church, we say we love Jesus. If we begin to live an exemplary godly life, not in church, because in church, every one of us will sing hallelujah, every one of us will speak in tongues, every one of us will bow our heads, every one of us will, fairly, most of us will dress decently and will do some of the religious things. But you can see that many of us will not be like Daniel. Daniel was in a strange land. No father, no mother, nobody to monitor him. His pastor was not there. In fact, he has lost touch with every person that probably he knew of from his time. But he made a resolve in his heart that he will not what? He will not defile himself. Daniel chose to remain godly in a most difficult situation. You may think that, Daniel, why are you stressing yourself? Forget. Just eat. Don't worry. When you eat, ask God for mercy and you just go on with life. This is a challenge to us. And I pray that God will grant us that grace to really be an exemplary godly life in the name of Jesus. Let me say a few things and then we'll try to pray a little. I realize that your secret life is more open than you think. Our secret life. Hallelujah. If many people know that their secret life is more open than they think, I think they will be more cautious. Many believers do not know that we are doing more in our secret place than what we project to others. We project to others maybe our good character. We project to others the things we want to project to them. But it's funny that what is dragging their attention is not what you are projecting to them. It is that secret life that you are hiding from them. Hallelujah. So we must realize that our secret lives are more open than we think. And related to that is that people learn more from who you are and what you do than what you say. People are influenced more by who you are and what you actually do beyond what you say. I used to say that what you say is the least level of influence and impact you can make on people. As important as it is, yes, if you say things We have many Christians now. You go on WhatsApp, you preach on your status, you go on Facebook, you tell people, they greet you, say bless you, and all of that. What do people say? But who are you in your intricate life? Who are you? Have we allowed the Spirit of God to work in us, the nature of God? How transformed are we by the Word of God? We have been in Jesus for many years, but how much of the fruit of the Christian life have we imbibed in our spirit? Someone will say that one of the most difficult people to meet are Christians. Christians are one of the most challenging people to work with. Is that supposed to be so? That should not be so. That should not be our testimony. So, I really think that the topic for today is something we must go and cry to God for. Am I living an exemplary godly life? Hallelujah. People learn more from who you are and what you do than what you say. I have first said that your secret life is more open than you think. I'm telling people, pray. It's not your let's pray that will make them pray. It is that your, in fact, when you begin to pray, if you are really praying, prayer life in the secret will do, begin to influence them. You are saying, live holy. Jesus is coming soon, live holy. That your talk is not doing much. So why are we having little results in Christendom? We have very few practicing Christians. Even among Christian leaders, tomorrow is church. Some people have ironed their suits, they have ironed their tie. It's a technological age. You have probably downloaded fresh sermons, gotten new stories, and just packaged very, very wonderful stuff to give. Maybe as a pastor, as a Sunday school teacher. So I'm just waiting for Sunday morning so that we just go and manifest and then go back to our life. Christians have dual life, and it's not taking us where God wants us to be. The text for this meeting is from Luke chapter 21, from verse 20 to 28 thereabout. But while I looked at it, I saw something in verse 19 or so that caught my attention related to this topic. And we'll just read it and then I'll make a comment. I'm already trying to round up. I hope you can still have a little time for my time to pray. We need to pray for ourselves. I need to pray for myself. We need to pray for ourselves. Hallelujah. Okay. Luke chapter 21 from verse 19. I'll read from the KJV, but if anybody is a simpler version, maybe you could read for us. Luke 21 verse 19. 19 says, in your patience possess ye your souls. In your patience possess ye your souls. Do you have a simpler version? Okay, if you have a simpler version, you will read it. But while I wait for you, you know, Jesus himself talking about the end time and the events of the end time, how nations will rise against nations, there will be persecutions. He said some will be delivered to be killed and all of that. He said sometimes do not bother about what you say, but he will give you a wisdom that your passion will not be able to gainsay. Alright, so where we read in verse 19, are you there, sir? What version is that? Yes, sir.
Okay.
I said to you another version.
Alright,
read the next.
Luke 21:19.
Yeah.
But standing firm,
yeah,
you will win your soul.
Okay. But standing firm, you will win your souls. Hallelujah. My version says, in your patience, possess ye your souls. Standing firm, you will win your souls. The point I wanted to raise from there is that the end time season will test our character. Hallelujah. It will test how much of the God life you have imbibed. We've been in church for many years. We've been born again for a while. It is not enough. It is not enough to be born again now. Everybody, in fact, the thief, the armed robber that is sinning, tells you that he's born again. In fact, he prays before he goes to rob. He has a pastor that will bless him before he goes to rob. So everybody is born again, in quotes. But he says, your patience will be tested. That means your character will be tested. He says, standing firm will preserve your souls. So our character will be revealed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Are we full of the love of God? Have we handled anger and bitterness? Do we plan revenge? Do we relate to people how they relate with us? Okay, I think, you know, there was one year that the slogan was follow who no rule. I think this year it's saying day for who, day for you. Day for who, day for you. Something like that. Well, that's not scripture in its fullness. You will day for who, not day for you. The Bible says we should bless those who curse us.
Yeah.
People will curse you pain. In fact, it's funny how, especially in these last days, if you've been around, if you've been working with God for a while, you will discover that the people that the devil will use to test you are not even the unbelievers primarily. It will be I think I read somewhere in Matthew, it talks about betrayers. One of the signs of the end times is, apart from persecution, it talks about betrayers from your brethren, from people you probably have shared your life with. They even know you much, they know a lot about you. Betrayers, hurts, these are common occurrences in our time. But these are the proof of, these are the tests of our character. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Go to them how they desire. Or you have to respond by the love of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Is the love of God going to be your operating system? Is the love of God going to be your driving force? We are going to pray in a moment. How can we allow, how can we, so that we can what, be tools to influence our peers? Hallelujah. I'll just say two things and then we pray. We must, first of all, there is the man side. That is, as a believer, you must make up your mind. The Bible says Daniel was proposing his heart. It was not the Holy Ghost first. Daniel had to make a decision. I'm talking to Christians now. So you make up your mind that I am going to live right. I'm not going to cut corners. If God cannot do it for me, let it remain undone. I will wait on God. So there's a personal decision. Hallelujah. Then for this want of time, Proverbs 4:23 also talks about guiding your heart. You will guide your heart. If there is a guiding of the heart that will not be done by the Holy Spirit, you will guide your heart. Hallelujah. The second part of it is the Spirit of God will have to help you. Hallelujah. Bible calls something the Spirit of Holiness. Even in the story of Daniel, Daniel chapter 5 verse 11, the queen mother made a confession that the Spirit of the Holy Ghost and He. Hallelujah. So Daniel's character was not just by his result. It was by the operation of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Thank God we are in the dispensation of the Holy Ghost, where the Spirit of God is poured out to us in greater measures. Hallelujah. In Romans chapter 1 verse 4, the Bible tells us about the Spirit of Holiness. It says, I am declared to be Son of God by power according to the Spirit of Holiness, by which the resurrection from the dead. Hallelujah. So the Holy Ghost is that Spirit of Holiness that can work in us for us to live a godly life. Hallelujah. I don't know any area of your life you probably are not seeing proper manifestation of godly character. You can depend on the Holy Ghost. First of all, you make up your mind. It's funny how the devil lies to people that they cannot live above certain things. And you agree with the devil. No, don't agree with the devil. Depend on the Holy Ghost. Make up your mind. And then you see God working a new protocol in our lives. I see God working a new protocol in our lives this season in the precious name of Jesus. I see God raising believers who will be exemplary godly lives. Anywhere you are, even if they take you to Sambisa today, Even if they take you to Chicago tomorrow, even if they take you to, I don't know where they want to take you, that will change the God life in you. Rather, you become an agent of transformation. That is what Christians were known for, by our character. By our character, we will shape the world. By our character, we will shape the world. Yes, we can shape the world by the anointing. The world is already shaping. What we need more now is the shaping power of the Holy Ghost working in us, bringing transformation. Can we go to the Lord in prayers as we ask the Lord? Please pray for yourself again. Holy Ghost, by your empowerment, I want to begin to live an exemplary godly life. I want to become a tool influencing my peers for Jesus. It's funny how some people, they are not known to be Christians in their place of work. Out there, they are big men of God, but in their place of work, if they talk to you, you would, they will say, let us leave Christianity aside. Let us face reality. No, that was not what the Bible teaches us. Can we ask the Lord to help us? Pray for yourself. Pray for fellow believers. I want to be a better Christian. So Christians are satisfied. They say that I already know the Bible I know can take me to heaven. The world is dark. Is that we must shine brighter and brighter. We must shine today more than we shone yesterday. 2025, we must do better than we did 2024. So some Christians are relaxed. No, they are no more giving themselves to spiritual exercise. No more fasting, no more prayer, no more hunger for God. No, we must break out and begin to be burning and shining lights. Can we ask the Holy Ghost to help us? Spirit of the living God, help us. Thank you, Jesus, because you are helping us. Every one of us that are listening to this word, and every one of us that will listen to it.